Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Mara. Brian Warfield's with us on the show today. How you, Brian? How are you keeping?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm busy, you might say. But I'm delighted that we have launched Celtic Exodus, which is a new musical. And it's a love story that goes through the 1840s and into the awful potato blight of 1845-52.
I was just about to say to you, it's a wonder that I could even get a phone call with you, because you're up to your eyes busy at the moment, aren't you? Between the massive resurgence for the Wolf Tones, and then what do you do? You decide to go and write a musical.
Well, this has been in the back of my head for ever and ever, and it's something I wanted to do. So it was on, I'm very busy with the Wolf Tones over the years. I write all the songs for them and all that. So, when I got a chance, the lads were saying, oh, come on, we have to retire sometime. So I think for the past 3 years, we've been retiring.
I know. every time they announce it, the next day, there's another gig on.
Yeah. But it's great. It's wonderful. And, we're reaching a lot of young people now, which is, amazing. And I think, resurgence of, the Wolf Tones and Irish music in general, I believe it's the young people looking for their heritage, and they want to find out about their story, their history and everything else.
Yeah.
And this play is a wonderful piece of historic writing. And you might say that it's based on two families, but it goes through the awful times and right through to the very end. So it is a moving story. You get into, you really get involved with the families, and then you go through the hardship with them.
I mean, it used to be a thing, I guess, where it was always the Americans were more interested in Irish history almost than we were. And now, like you're saying, there's been a shift somehow. Young people are really interested in all this and Irish music and everything. And even my niece, and she's 21. And I remember her saying she was going to see the Wolf Tones. I was like, the Wolf Tones? And I thought it was like there was a new band, a new version of the Wolf Tones out or something. She's like, no, the Wolf Tones. It's gas, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's so popular it again with Electric Picnic and all that.
Yeah, well, that was amazing. You know, I think we had the biggest crowd ever there on the second Electric Picnic. We had 85,000, and it was unbelievable. But on the first year, we were in the tent, and the tent, I think, holds about 15,000. And, when we came on, I think Rick Gatley was on the main stage, and everybody was leaving all the stages and coming over to our tent. He turned around to one of the guys and said, where's all the people going? Oh, some bloody Irish group over there.
Some boy band.
A little boy band over there.
A little
in the
boy
tent,
band.
Taking all your punters.
Can I ask you, what would be the average age of a Wolf Tone, Brian?
9 to 90. But, I think in recent years, if I look at the three arena, it's probably about 70% under 25 or under 30. So it's a very young cohort, and it's remarkable to see. And I think, as I said about the history of Ireland, we were probably the only group who were telling the story of Ireland right through the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and through the hardship that we had on our island and the terrible troubles we had. But despite that, I said, the Wolf Tones, were continuing with the story of Ireland. And I think, that has resonated with young people. They see what we did through the ages, and they want to be part of it. A lot of the young people said to me, Brian, you can't give up now. You only discovered it.
He's never going to get to retire, God love. Because you're not really going to retire, are you? I know you pretend that you're going to, but I don't think it's actually going to happen.
You never know. But the way it is, MCD kept coming back and saying, yeah, you have to do a few more. You have to do it. Because the demand was so high. They don't take on gigs lightly,
Yeah.
But anyhow, he said, what do you do next year? I said, well, we come back from Crow Park. We come back from Crow Park.
Do you know the way, obviously, you play a lot of instruments? What would be a good one for somebody to start off with? What would you say would be the easiest traditional Irish instrument?
I know doubt about it. Get the tin whistle. And that's how I started. And there's many, many wonderful tutors out there The tin whistle is a cheap instrument to buy, and it is an easy enough instrument to learn, and I think that's the one to start on. But if you have interest in any other instrument and you really want to do it, you will do it once you have the desire to get there and do it. And as I say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice, man, practice.
So what is it that you're playing? You're playing the banjo, you play the baron. What else do you play?
Well, I had the harp. I was a great harpist at one stage, but
wow.
I got this tremor, and, you know, the harp is very intricate to play. I love the harp. It was my favourite instrument of all time. But unfortunately, I got this tremor in my hands.
Yeah.
Luckily enough, they ruled out Parkinson's, and now it's ET, as they call it, essential tremor.
Okay. Tremor. And is that caused by playing an instrument, or what brings that on?
I really don't know, and I don't think they know either. Mm. They don't give you much answers and all that, but, you know, as soon as I have a couple of pints, it goes, so I'm happy enough.
Brian, what do you like? I remember seeing a young girl on, was the Late Late Toy Show there a couple of years ago, and she was unbelievable on the harp. She was only about, I think she was about 13 or 14 maybe, beautiful harp player, and she was actually deaf. So, and it was only at the end of the performance that they told the story that she was deaf, and she was so talented. And I think after seeing her on the toy show, there's a lot of kids now who want to get into the harp.
Yeah, it's a great instrument. It's the Irish instrument, and you know, it's a wonderful sound. And I started off, you know, reading about Irish music and its development through the years and centuries. Mm. And you know, I said I got to take up the harp and play the harp. So I went down and bought me one, and I went down to a young girl down in Clondalkin, and she was a very good harp teacher. And I was trying to play with my nails like the old harpers of old.
Yeah.
But she said, that's not going to work. You're going to rip all the strings apart. So you got to play with the little pads on your fingers. But anyhow, I learned it, and I became very proficient at it. And I wanted to be different. And so I learned a lot of jigs and reels in it, and of course, Carolyn's tune. And my favourite tune of all time is Carolyn's favourite.
Yeah.
Carolyn's favourite jig. It's an absolutely fantastic tune.
I thought you were going to say there, Brian, you're into the rave music, playing the rave music on the harp.
Listen, I love all kinds of music. I'm, you know, there's only two types of music, good music and bad music. And, you know, I like all the good stuff. Doesn't matter what it is.
The musical, let's get back to the musical Celtic Exodus. So this is on in the Mansion House. Who's in it?
Well, we have a wonderful cast. And we're getting standing ovations every night. It's an unbelievable show. And we have remarkable dancers and singers. And we have Phelim Dhu playing one of the fathers. We have Sean Cairns playing the other father. We have Leah Barnival playing the lead lady. And we have Colm Quinn playing the lead man. And they are fantastic together. And both wonderful singers, actors. And dances. It's an amazing show. And, you know, it's only on a limited show or limited run. So I would ask anybody that wants to see a really great Irish music musical. It's probably the only Irish musical out there before it closes on the 20th of August. So I encourage you to please come along. You won't regret it. Bring your friends. Young and old, it's a great show. People, we have all ages there, and they come along and they laugh and they cry, and, you know, with tears in their eyes at the end. It's a really, really moving story.
I'd love to have a route through the wardrobe department, because I can imagine the clothes and everything from famine times. I mean, that must have been quite the task, getting the wardrobe together for that.
Well, we did, and I think we got a lot of the stuff from the Abbey, and you hire it out from them.
Mm.
And we have authentic, you know, British uniforms, the red coats and all that. We have all the stuff as it was. There were very poor times in Ireland, and people didn't have great clothes. Some of them were kind of raggy. But other people, they dressed in their Sunday best. And they always had a wonderful special dress at the youth for Sunday when they were going to church or mass.
The Sunday clothes,
The Sunday clothes. They always had that little bit that they kept. But eventually, when the famine got so bad, they had to sell those clothes.
Okay.
You know, and ended up with the rags.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a terrible time. It's an important time in Irish history. It's the reason why we have so many diaspora all across the world. You know, in America, 85,000. In Australia, half the population. In Canada, about 25% of the population. You know, if you go to all the countries in England, you know, even today we've got about 6 million Irish in Britain.
Mm.
And Scotland, of course, got a huge influx of our people. So it changed the world forever. And it changed Ireland forever. The population of Ireland went down to 3 million and under 3 million, you know. So, like, from a population of almost 10 million. Now, the census said 1.875 million people in Ireland, the census of 41. But when I went to school, we calculated that it was about 10 million people in Ireland because they had a recount in many, many counties. And they found like over a 10% discrepancy.
Right. And it's funny how you're saying about all the Irish around the world. Sure, every celebrity I have on this show that comes on for an interview tells me that their granny was Irish. Or their, do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's always an Irish connection, no matter who I talk to. There's always something.
Yeah, well, it's the same when we went to America, you know. And everybody, like, we spent many, many years in America. Like, I think over my lifetime with the Wolftones, about 25 years in America. And, you know, I know America very well, and I know Irish America particularly well. And they all have a great love and a deep love for Ireland. And they all tell the story of their people leaving Ireland and the sadness they had in leaving a country that they loved, because they were very attached to Ireland and the land. And having to do that, it was like dragging their soul away from the body. You know, it was just so hard for them. If you look at all the emigration songs, you will find no one joyful leaving the country. They're all sad about leaving it and leaving their friends and family behind. And those songs, you know, would have been written in the 16th, 17th and 18th centuries about people, you know, ballad singers singing about the awful emigration that people had to suffer.
Brian, tell me this much now, the truth I want from you. Are the Wolftones retired? Or is there going to be more? I know there's a couple of gigs.
No,
there's a couple of gigs lined up. Beyond that.
Yeah, we have two at INEC in Killarney coming up on the 21st and 22nd of August.
Yeah.
And then we have one in Belfast where we finish up this year on the 29th of August. And that's in the Hydro or the SSE arena. So we're expecting a big end to the year, but that'll be our last show this year.
This year? And, that means not the end.
Well, you never know, you never know, you never know, you never know.
You're from Inchicore, are you?
Yeah, I'm from Inchicore, and all my people are from Inchicore.
Because I'm just thinking, you'd be around the same age as my late father-in-law, who died there 2 years ago, but he was from Inchicore. They lived on Ring Street.
Yeah. My family came from Tyrconnell Road, that was the Warfield. And then my grandmother's people came from South Terrace in Inchicore, the railway houses. Then the Warfields behind that, and Abercorn Terrace. So they were all working in the railway. They were all the Warfields were boilermakers, and all the McDonalds were engine drivers.
Gas. Sure, we'll talk to you next year when the Wolftones do another gig, what?
Yeah, well, can I just mention, tickets are available at CelticExodusTheMusical.com.
Good man.
So you just get onto that site and you can buy tickets for, you know, nights that are available. So I encourage everybody to go. You won't be disappointed. Bring your family along. There are family rates as well.
Brilliant.
So hope to see you there. And thank you very much for the opportunity of letting people know about it.
Brian, thanks for coming on. We're delighted to have you as a guest. And we'll talk again.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sina. Really, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. Now.